Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Where does it take us to? It takes us to the beginning. Have you ever thought about that? It goes back to the beginning. But in the beginning, God was one person at the beginning of creation, and that was the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then something happened. This earth that was made was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the waters. What happened between the beginning and the earth becoming void, and the earth being described by Peter as some bits of building above the waters and some underneath the waters. Utter and total darkness and confusion. But then something happened. The face of the waters are mentioned. You know, if you go to the epistle of Peter when you go home and look it up, you'll find the face of Christ mentioned. And it's mentioned in its relationship to the light that shines from Christ. I sat the other day with my Bible and I said, isn't it strange? The first darkness we have, we read the face of the waters were disturbed by the Spirit of God moving. What? Where did he move? On the face of the water. On the face of the waters. And where does God move when he saves us by his grace? He begins in our hearts and he applies to us faith in a God that can do anything but feel. And our God can do anything, but he cannot fail. He never will fail. Before there was light, the Holy Spirit breathed upon this earth that had become without form and void and was covered and drowned in the darkness of the deepest depths of water. Here we have one of the mysteries of what took place in this old world of ours in the creation of this universe. It's a mystery, but it's a fact. It happened. Everything that the Bible reports on as a fact is a fact. Oh, the world will have battles with them, and the scientists will bring their theories, and they'll blow their little noses, and they'll tell the people what they think. It matters not. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. because it is God's commentary upon his mighty work. Until that time, all was formless. It was full of voidness. A dreadful deep face was hidden from us, a darkness which could be felt. The mystery of the void, full mass of the blackness whose history is hidden from our eyes. The mystery of iniquity hidden from the eyes. Chaos. Darkness. The whole world's atmosphere was the face of the deep, married to the face of the waters. But God is sovereign. God knew what was happening, and he knew how he would come in with his almighty power and change the whole business. And you know, there was a time when he came into our hearts, didn't he? And my, we were void, and we were filled with darkness, and we were living in a black deep and deadness. And then Jesus came. You know what he said? Let there be light. And there was light. And there was a day when we found the light and the burden of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. This word from Genesis chapter 1 is actual. It's real. It's not a parable. It is a declaration of the tremendous miracle that God did when he set up this world. Notice the movement that took place. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. That's exactly what happened the night God saved us. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. My, some of us were in dark, deep waters. Some of us didn't deserve the breath we breathed. But thank God, God was there, and he was just about to say, let there be light. Do you remember that minute in your life when God let his light shine into our hearts? There must have been a tremendous commotion in the atmospherics around this earth, when an earth that was dark and deep in darkness and covered with darkness and all in catastrophe and all void and all, as it were, finished, a rubbish heap. Of course, that's exactly what we were. We were a rubbish heap. But thank God, in loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, redeemed, he lifted me. What a day that was, when we were lifted by the power of God. Pay attention to the state of the world as it is described here by the Holy Spirit of God. Without form, void, darkness upon the face of the deep, dark water in which the whole created world was immersed. Certainly that face needed a facelift. And that is exactly what God gave this old world. It gave it a facelift. It lifted it. Such is the darkness and drowning of the world here described in its first mention in the Bible. It was Mr. Spurgeon, the great preacher, who said, "Observe, dear friends, the state of the world. It is said to have been without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Such is the state of every human heart till God the Holy Spirit visits it." Do you remember when the Spirit of God visited your heart? Do you remember your human heart in its state of chaos and disorder? You had no thought of believing in God. You had no thought of dwelling on His love. You had no thought of surrendering yourself to Him. You were void. You were empty. "In me," said Paul, "that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Darkness reigned. We love the Egypt of the world and all its darkness. We were depraved. And all we wanted to do was to sin and sin and sin. And to shut our ears to the gospel. And to turn away from the pleading of God and His Spirit. And we were lost. But hallelujah, Jesus found us. He found the sheep that went astray. He threw His loving arms around us. He brought us back into the way. What was it that started this action in her heart? The Spirit of God. The Spirit breathed on the waters. Oh, may the Spirit of God breathe on the waters of Belfast. Upon the many who tonight are looking for pleasure and sinful enjoyment and know nothing of peace or pardon or life everlasting. But thank God, when Jesus comes, the prisoner's power is broken into by the power of the Spirit of God. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts, listen, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Put the face of the deep on one side. Put the face of the Lord Jesus on the other side and have a look at them. One paints an awful picture of darkness, calamity, hell, judgment, and bitterness of soul. But the other tells us the light has shined out of darkness. See, the first earth in the judgment had darkness, but God commanded the light that covered the world with darkness to give up its grip. That was the first time that God overthrew in His work the taking away of the darkness to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You take up your Bible, go through every bit of it, and mark every time you see a face in the Bible. You just do that. And you'll learn something. You'll learn something that you need to learn that the faces of men are not looking to God, but they're looking away from God. Sinners are not looking for God, they're looking away from Him. But thank God, God is looking for sinners. And there was a day when I walked down the broad and crowded road, and I thought that the world was the place of excitement and satisfaction and pleasure and so on and so on. And then I discovered something. I discovered that there was nothing satisfying in this old world, but there was one who could satisfy my thirsty soul, and that one was the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I was astonished at the Savior, because I saw one whose visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And something happened. I saw the face of Jesus. And what happened? I was eternally changed. Old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. Eternally changed by a look on the face of Jesus. Was that a wonderful day, a wonderful hour, a wonderful experience when I was cleansed and set free by the power of God? The unity of the Scripture could not be better demonstrated by this unity, this harmony, this theology that we're reading about in the first two verses of Genesis chapter 1. No man ever knows Christ till the light of God shines from the cross. You may look at a picture of the bleeding Jesus. You may read the story of his wounds. But if you have not seen him, you're still lost. But when you do see him, praise God, you'll be able to shout, "Love lifted me," when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me. He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay. And on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. The whole of our hearts are deepened with the light of God. The void and the darkness and the depths of that darkness are fled away. For God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Where Jesus is, all darkness is gone. No darkness can shine or bully us when the Lord is there. There may be no sun, no moon, nor stars to lighten the darkness of our night, but let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine where? Outside, no. Shine into our hearts. Penetrate them. Until we sit reflecting the glorious light of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He makes the path grow brighter every passing day. He makes a burden lighter all along the way. And he salutes us with his invitation trumpet. And he casts out the old and brings in the rain of the Spirit of God in our hearts. And we sit down under his shadow with great delight. And this fruit is sweet to our taste, and his banner over us is love. Oh, 'twas love. I remember going to a Sunday school once, and there was a class of young boys, and they were very enthusiastic. And they were singing that little chorus, oh, 'twas love, was wondrous love, the love of God to me. And they all sang it this way, oh, there's love, lovely love, the love of God to me. The love of God is beautiful. My, a beautiful rainbow over the shadow of tears. That's what God does when you come. Isn't it a great thing to be saved? Nothing can change it. It's forever. I believe in the eternal security of the saints. It's not my hold on God that's going to get me to heaven. It's God hold. God's hold on me is going to get me to heaven. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And the best thing we can do tonight at this service is to ask the Lord to give us a blessed beam that'll shine in our hearts all through the coming days and hours and months of this coming year. Just to sit in the sunshine of his love. Just to read the book and accept it and ask the Lord to do in your heart what the book is written on. We never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For thank God that when we lay everything on the altar, then we receive joy unspeakable and full of glory. The other morning when I got up and went down to my study and shut to the door and took up my Bible, and as I sat there, I looked at the Bible and I said, thank God I can read. Thank God I was taught how to read. The most blessed thing you could do is to read the Word of the living God. It gets into your heart. It gets into your mind. It gets into your soul. It gets into your being. It becomes part of you. The living Word of the living God. We need to ask God to give us an appetite for his Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, sit up to the Lord's table, my brother, my sister. Cut the finest loaf on the table. Don't take a wee tiny bit of God's bread. Take a chunk of it. It's what you need. And you start munching the Word of God. Things will happen. You say, why did I never see that before? Because you were sleeping. That's why. You never awakened to the voice of God. There's a voice in every word of Scripture. Oh, that I could hear that voice and obey it. God wants us to hear it and obey it. I don't know what heaven will be exactly be like. I have some ideas. But I know one thing, that when we're all in heaven together, the Word of God will be sweeter than it ever was before. You know why? Because God is going to give us the intelligence, the celestial intelligence, to understand the book. And we need understanding of this book. Oh, may God chain us and tie us to the Word of God. And I trust that you will go back to this first chapter of Genesis and you'll look it up and you'll let your thoughts dwell on it and you'll get into the glorious power that's in it. Oh, that God might send us a mighty baptism of His Word, the Word of God with power. Oh, that He would lift us higher. From the carnal mind, He would set us free. He would fill us with mighty fire, and He would send us revival. Old-fashioned, heaven-sent, sky-blue, devil-defeating, pope-chasing revival. That's exactly what we want. And we need to have it. And God wants us to have it. And may this incoming year that we're entering, may it be a time when we'll enter into the courts of God in revival blessing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Father, we thank Thee from the depths of our soul that Jesus Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we thank Thee for the day when we're in the hell's road and we're in darkness and in the shadow of death, that the Lord Jesus met with us and set us free. All the way to Calvary, You went for me and You died to set me free. And oh God, we pray that every one of us will get a blessing tonight, that we'll be touched by the power of God, and that the dark waters and the night of confusion and darkness and deadness may leave our souls, and may we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will keep on cleansing us from all sin. Do that, we pray. Everybody said, amen. That's a poor amen. Everybody said, amen. Lord, do it in our hearts this night in Jesus' precious name. Amen.